Well, Fred, before we get into the heart and soul of our interview with you today, first off, just tell us just a little bit more about Think New Mexico. Tell us a little bit more about your organization. What is it, and what do you guys do?
Sure, Mike, and thank you again for having me on your show. Think New Mexico is an independent, statewide, results-oriented think tank. We're different than most think tanks because most think tanks have some ideological bent, either way over on the left or way over on the right. And we just believe in New Mexico, which sadly is 49th or 50th in too many of these national rankings, that the focus really should be on solutions rather than political ideology. And consistent with that, we've got a board of directors made up of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. One's a former Republican Governor Gary Carruthers. One's a former Democratic Attorney General Paul Bardicke. And, they're really just focused at this point in their careers on trying to propel us forward in some of these rankings. And there's no personal agendas here, and people just want to move the state forward.
Well, Fred, I know that your organization has worked on many, many, many things in the past, and you've gotten quite a bit accomplished over the years. Can you kind of talk about some things that Think New Mexico has dealt with in the past and just exactly what you got accomplished?
Sure. Thank you, Mike. I think the thing we're best known for is repealing the tax off of groceries 10 years ago and continuing with that fight, because every now and then when they're looking for revenue, they want to bring back the tax on groceries. Another campaign was to reform the lottery to get more dollars to the scholarships and less to the bureaucracy that was running it. Several years ago, we got three constitutional amendments on the ballot to reform the Public Regulation Commission and take power away from them and increase their qualifications. And most recently, I think last year when I was on the show, we talked about healthcare transparency, and I'm delighted to report that we passed that bill. This was a bill that would introduce a little bit of free market competition to the healthcare sector of our economy, which is the biggest sector. And it's the only one where we don't know the price of what procedures cost before we have them. And with this new era of Obamacare and these higher deductibles, people want the ability to shop around, but they don't have it because it's secret. So we've created, we got legislation through to create a public website where anybody in New Mexico can go to find out the cost of the most common 100 medical procedures at any of the state's 44 hospitals, and also some information about quality, things like morbidity rates, error rates, infection rates, readmission rates. And we're really excited about the potential of that website, which should go online with any luck in the next year or so. And that I think will be really helpful to New Mexicans who want a more patient-centered healthcare section of our economy.
All right, Fred. And this year, when I say this year, you guys always issue a report or a book and report, and I've got it right here in front of me. In fact, I like the cover of this. It's called it says Fall 2015. Think New Mexico, the story of the Christmas tree bill. And I like the cover on this because what you have is you have a Christmas tree. You've got presents underneath it. You've got, the Christmas balls with the Isaiah symbol. Then you've got various denominations of bills here. I mostly see $100 bills. Then you've got a pig that's trying to tip the tree over. And the title of it is The Story of the Christmas Tree Bill, Fixing Public Infrastructure Spending in New Mexico. All right, I've set the table for you on this. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on it.
Sure, and your listeners are probably wondering, what's the story of the Christmas Tree Bill? So that's probably the best way to start. And by the way, you have been so wonderful to Think New Mexico and having me on your show so often that I'd like to pay it back by telling your listeners that if they want a copy of this report, all they need to do is contact us and say Mike Jackson, and they will get a complimentary copy of it. And it tells the story of how our capital outlay, which is really a fancy political term for how public infrastructure gets paid for. And the story really begins late in the 1970s, 2007 legislative session. And back then, when they wanted to pay for roads or bridges or water systems, they would pass a bill. And we all learned in civics class how that works. You know, you introduce a bill, it has to go through committees, has to go to floor votes, and gets lots of public scrutiny. But in 1977, with 2 days to go in the session, the Senate Finance Committee decided to pull together the 27 bills that were paying for public infrastructure projects into one big, single, massive bill. And they called it the Christmas tree bill, as in every legislator would get a present that they could bring back to their constituents. And not surprisingly, it passed unanimously. And we've been doing this the same way ever since. And New Mexico is now considered to be unique among the 50 states in that we use a political formula for how we distribute this money. So, for example, in the last session, just bringing this all the way forward, the special session last year, every senator was given $1 million to spend in their near total discretion. Every House member was given $600,000 to spend in their near total discretion. And this creates, you know, lots and lots of problems, which we can discuss.
All right, Fred, could you elaborate a little further on that?
Sure. So, you know, one of the biggest problems is that too often legislators just look at this as a way to subsidize their reelection. And so this money gets split up very thinly, and oftentimes not on things that you would think of when you think of public infrastructure. So, for example, it gets spent on band uniforms and football helmets and sculpture gardens in Santa Fe and a doggy drinking fountain in a park in Las Cruces. And I'm pro-dog, but that's really not what, you know, these are nice-to-have things, but they're not really what we most need. And this is in a state with billions of dollars backlogged for water systems for communities that don't have clean drinking water, roads which are in terrible shape. I know in your part of the state, the roads are really below grade and they need to be repaired, and yet we're wasting money on these sort of frivolous things. A second big problem is we live in a state that's 50th in job growth, and many of the dollars that do get appropriated don't get spent because there's no vetting or planning or criteria, and oftentimes the legislators might have good intentions. They find a good project, but they severely underestimate the cost. And so as a result, over the last 3 years, when you aggregate, when you add up the three bills, the last three bills, they appropriated over $500 million, yet more than $300 million since sits idle on the sidelines, unexpended, because of poor planning. And I was just talking to some people that built highways, and they were explaining to me that every $100 million is worth about 2,700 high-paying jobs in engineering, architecture, construction, the very industries that were slammed by the Great Recession in 2008. And so when you look at that $300 million that's still sitting on the sidelines unspent, that's about 8,100 jobs in a state that's really desperate for those. So that's the second problem. And then the third problem is just the total lack of transparency. They essentially passed this bill in secret. The public, including mayors and county commissioners who really should be involved in this process, are kept in the dark as to how this money is spent. And I hear from a lot of local officials that they'll send their priorities up to Santa Fe, and then this bill comes out, they look through the bill looking for their priorities, which haven't been funded, but yet there's some new thing that they never asked for, which they can't afford to operate, you know, some new building or structure that they now have to figure out a way to pay for its heating and cooling, its staffing, its maintenance, and they don't have money in their operating budget for that. So it's sort of a double whammy for taxpayers. So it's a system that's completely broken and in need of reform.
All right, Fred, with everything that has been said now and with the 2016 session going on, How do you think legislators are going to be warming up to your report regarding infrastructure spending? Do you think some are going to like it? Do you think some are not? Do you think some are just going to be, you know, ambivalent to us? You know, take us through the thought process, since you are based there in Santa Fe.
Sure. There. To be fair, there are many legislators who recognize that the system needs to be repaired. But giving up, you know, this pork, it's sort of like the five stages of grief, you know, and right now we're in the anger and denial stage, and we're getting called some nasty names. But if we do our jobs correctly, we hope to get them to bargaining and then acceptance. We're a long ways away from that right now. In fact, you know, we've been talking to legislators about sponsoring it, and the general response we get is, you're absolutely right. Your bill is very well thought through. We're trying to drain the politics out and make it a merit-based system that's more open to the public. And then they say, you know, and while I agree with you, I don't want to sponsor it because, you know, so many of my colleagues, you know, don't want to see this happen. So so we're struggling a little bit to get this introduced, but hopefully, you know, I think there's a greater and greater recognition that this is something that needs to be addressed. And some good news, I mean, the governor's office, to their great credit, has put this on the call, and that's a fancy way, for, just so your listeners know, that in a 30-day legislative session, according to the New Mexico Constitution, it's only supposed to be about budget. And so if there's anything other than House Bill 2, which is the budget, you need the permission of the governor, and so I just want to thank Susana Martinez for agreeing to, first of all, recognizing that the system is broken and putting this, our bill, on the call. So that's one very promising thing.
Fred, is there anything that the citizens of New Mexico can do to put pressure on lawmakers to get this thing through the session and on the governor's desk?
Thank you for asking me that question. Yes, I want to encourage your listeners to go to our website, www.thinknewmexico.org, and then click on the Action Center, and they will then, on your computer screen, you'll see some prescripted letters, and all you have to do is type in your snail mail address, your mailing address, and the computer automatically figures out who your state representative is, who your state senator is, and you can edit the letter any way you want, and we encourage you to do it. I think legislators are more persuaded by individual stories. Contact your legislators. You don't even have to pay for a stamp this way. It's just email to them directly, and a copy also goes to the governor and the lieutenant governor.
Well, Fred, I want to thank you for taking the time for talking to us today about this. Again, we're being joined by Fred Nathan of Think New Mexico. Fred, is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't covered in the last few minutes?
No, this was terrific, and I once again thank you for this opportunity.